I think that when we begin to focus more seriously on Yom Noroim, which starts with Elul, but in a very modified or modest way, but as comes already the days of Slichus, it becomes more imminent. There's not a month to go. Sometimes there's only a few days. This year there happens to be a little bit more time. But it's the real serious season is upon us. And when that happens, we, in this generation, not being of the spiritual level of some of the earlier generations, tend to think, and maybe in a moment I'll explain why, or rightly so, why it's rightly so, about our own personal needs, our families, our close ones, some even petty needs, and some very serious ones. And that's the mood that we're in, and that's the discomfort that we have in terms of what's going to be accomplished, what are we going to achieve in the next two and a half weeks, whatever it amounts to. Truth be told, that Reb Yisrael Salanter changed a hanhoga, a conduct, maybe even a halachically inspired conduct, from what it was for generations or older generations previously. In the original version or the original attitude of Rosh Hashanah, it was not a day for personal requests. Personal requests were considered inappropriate on Rosh Hashanah. And the reason being, because Rosh Hashanah is the focus on Hashem is the Melech. Rosh Hashanah is the focus on the hope that the world will come to recognize that Hashem is the only one, the true king, the true ruler, the creator, the one to whom we all, all of humanity, should be subservient. And that's the hope. V'simloichato Hashem levadecho al kol ma'asecho. That should happen, that Hashem should reign over everyone, meaning he does, but everyone should appreciate it and respect it and live accordingly. And therefore, when you come and stand, oh, you know something, I need a couple extra bucks this year, and I need a little bit of this, and I have a little bit of that, and my house needs a couple of repairs, and that's pity. We're talking about Kovet Shomayim. We're talking about Malchus Hashem. We're talking about the world coming to recognize the Borei Olam, the Creator. And you're talking about your pettiness? And comes along Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and says, that's no longer relevant. He says, because in our world today, if we're far from those levels. It's hard for us to dream about the world coming to recognize Hashem as the Melech al Kol Haoretz. And therefore, he says, if we don't request personal things, it's indicative that we really don't realize the seriousness of what's happening. We really forgot that this is a Yom HaDin. We really forgot that judgments are being taken. We really forgot that decisions are made about each and every one of us and our future. We're not spiritually elevated to the extent that all I think about is the glory of Hashem and not my own personal life and not my own personal family and my needs. And therefore, he says on Rosh Hashanah, we're obligated to request personal things as well, whatever it may be, whether it's parnosa, whether it's health, whether it's nachas, whether it's shiduchim, whatever it may be, that this is eminently appropriate on Rosh Hashanah, and not to do so would have the effect, the kitrug, the ability of leaving us vulnerable to accusations of the lack of integrity of what we do that previous generations would have had they asked these things when really they were expected to be thinking about much loftier spiritual goals. So I think it's fair to say, and justifiably so, that at this point, as we come to Slichus, we think about personal things. I want to get it this year. I want to get it right. I have goals that I haven't achieved. I have problems that haven't been resolved. There is illness that has not yet been healed. There's shidduchim that are still hanging and haven't happened yet. There's problems with this. There's problems with that. And unfortunately, meruvim tzorchei amcha, the extent of the problems are infinite. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's the right word, but it certainly seems infinite. And therefore, we have every right and every need to focus on our personal things. And therefore, I'd like to talk for a bit about how we achieve personal goals, because that really is appropriate for this season, for this time of year. And there's an interesting Gemara in Nida, Daf Ayin Amud Beis. And the Gemara speaks about Shloisha Divrei Derech Eretz. Three basic life skills, I would call them. How to get to achieve three of life's very significant goals. And the first one is Chochmah, wisdom. Wisdom is very precious. It's the wisdom of Torah, which allows us infinite spiritual opportunities. There's Stam Chochmah that exists, that helps us in everything that we do, in dealing with our families, in dealing with our business, in dealing with the world. How does one achieve wisdom? Second, Derech Eretz that he talks about is, how does one achieve wealth? People want to be wealthy. It seems to be a very common desire that most people, many people, probably most people share. And especially since the bar for wealth seems to be going up every year. What was considered wealthy 30 years ago is no longer. You know how I know that? I don't know much about finance. I don't know much about economics. But I remember Chock Full of Nuts 40 years ago had a jingle that they just revived the last couple of years. And they only changed one word.
One letter.
Oh, you're right, one letter. But to me, it was a word. Yeah, but a lot of zeros after it. Yeah. Better, they used to say, better coffee millionaires money can't buy. And now the jingle goes the same tune they finally revived. Better coffee billionaires money can't buy. So we see we're in a different world, you know, and everybody wants it. We know a lot of billionaires today, you know. It's not minanimna, it's not out of the question. So how does one become rich? And the third thing is, which is also a very basic desire in our communities and in the world, is how does one have sons, children, especially if we want male children, bonim schorim? What does one do to achieve these goals? Now, if you think about chokhmah, and if you think about wealth, riches, and if you think about children, you know, like that's pretty choshev. That's like three of the basic areas that we certainly would have liked to achieve. And many of our other achievements are included in that. Chochmah can bring us a lot of additional achievements. Many people believe, maybe it's true, that wealth can also do so, you know. And good children, they help out a lot too, especially as you get older, you know. And when after them needing you comes the kufa that you're both okay, and then eventually you start needing them. So these are all wonderful things that are really representative of our personal needs. What do we do? So let's see what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Ma yesa odem v'yechkam. What should a person do to become wise? Omer lehen, yarbe v'yeshiva v'yamayit v'schira. Have to sit and learn. To become smart, to become wise, to get chokhmah, you have to study the chokhmah. And don't do too much of your other business, because if you're going to be engaged in business day and night, then you're not going to have time, presence of mind, and patience, and the ability to really sit and learn chokhmah. Then the Gemara asks a very interesting question. The Gemara asks the question, it says that Harbe also came for Lohoyulahem. Many people tried this and it didn't work. They tried to become chachomim. They tried to learn. They tried to minimize their outside engagements. And yet, it didn't work. Elo, the Gemara says, the Gemara has a different suggestion. Not to study so much. Yivakshu rachamim emisha achoch mashaloi. Have to ask mercy from Hashem. He's the one who is the Bal HaChochma. He owns the Chochma. Shenemar ki Hashem yitein Chochma mipiv das usvuna. Hashem gives Chochma. Literally from his mouth comes wisdom in this world. So the Gemara seems to say, and Rashi says very clearly, it says, berachamim hadover tole. Well, the Rashi is really on the next piece. And then he says, so the Gemara asks the question, it says, im kein, maiko mashmalon. Why did the Memra originally state that you should be involved in Chochmah? It's really a gift. You should ask mercy from Hashem to have the Chochmah. So the Gemara answers, Hobla holosagi, you need both. You need study, and you need to ask Hashem to give us mercy, to give us wisdom. And Rashi explains on the Maikom Ashmon, Lomalei lememer lohu yarba b'yeshiva, why did the Maimer say b'chlal yarba b'yeshiva, hoyel uvarachamim hadover tolui, since it's really dependent on rachamim. And that's what's Mashmon the Gemara when it says elo. The Gemara is changing its position. So then why did it say that in the first place? So it seems that the conclusion is not that it went back to the original conclusion, that it, the original statement that it had originally, but very simple. It's really all dependent on mercy from Hashem. But there's a condition. The condition is you have to study. If you want to be a chochem, you have to study. And you can't do too many other distractions. But we have to know that the wisdom that we wish to achieve is a gift from Hashem, and the direct vehicle of achieving, the direct means of achieving that gift, that is through asking, praying, beseeching Hashem for His mercy. That's the first one. Then it goes on. What should a person do to become rich? Do a lot of business. Have to do. If you want to be rich, got to work hard. Doesn't come with easy work. Interesting. The Vilna Gaon takes out Yarba Bischira. He says you don't need to do that. But our Girsa the Gemara says you do. The Vilna Gaon takes it out. And the second thing the Gemara says is Vayisa v'yitin be'emuna. And conduct your business affairs with integrity. Those are the two conditions, according to our Gemara. You have to work hard if you want to become rich. You work a little bit. You may have your parnosa, but you may not become rich. To become rich, a person puts in an extra effort, at least according to our Gemara. So the Goyin says even that's not necessary. But you have to conduct yourself with integrity in the business. So the Gemara asks the same question. Many people tried this and it didn't work. They tried to be marba bischira and yisav itin be'emuna, and they still didn't become rich. El yivakesh rachamim mi she'oisher shaloi. Shenemar li hakesef li hazov. Have to ask mercy from the one who owns all of the wealth. And the pasuk says, to me belongs silver, to me belongs gold, everything belongs to Hashem. And again, then the Gemara says, my komash malon. If that's the case, elo, that it's totally in rachamim, then why did you tell me I have to work a lot and to do my business with integrity? Or according to the Goyin, I just have to do whatever business I do. I don't have to put in extra schoiro, but I have to do it with integrity. The Gemara says again, hoblo holosaki. It's a condition. Once again, and the same thing the Gemara says, the same parallels for the third thing of bodim schorim, for children. The Gemara says, it really all depends on bakoshas rachamim. What we want in life, the things that we wish to achieve, the special brochos that we want, are tolui in bakoshas rachamim. We ask Hashem, we beseech Hashem, we beg Hashem to give us that rachamim. And there's a condition. We have to act appropriately towards the goal that we have. If it's ashirus, so then it's integrity, business. If it's chokhmah, person has to be marbe yeshiva and memayit bischeira, otherwise he's not going to become that chochem. But those are all conditions. But the essence is bakoshes racham. Now, what that means for this season is really something very, very significant, because this is the best time for bakoshes rachamim. These are the days of slichus. These are the days of Rosh Hashanah. These are the days of Haseres Yimei Tshuva, Dirshu Hashem Bihimotzoi, and then culminating in Yom Kippur. This is the time. This is the time when Hashem is the closest. This is the time when we are more spiritually uplifted. This is the time where we recite every day the Yud Gimel Midos, which are Midos HaRachamim, which invoke the Rachmei Dishmaya, the mercy of Hashem. So this is really a unique and an extremely appropriate opportunity to achieve the things that we want in life. And as we mentioned previously, it is appropriate to do so and not to to feel that, well, I'm being distracted with petty things or I'm being focused on petty things, when in reality is more global issues, because we are to be concerned, yes, about the global issues, no question, to whatever extent we can, but we have the right and the responsibility to be concerned about our personal issues, and these days provide the most perfect opportunity. So this is really what we have to deal with. How do we go about it? What can we do on a practical level to be able to be more mivakesh, to be able to appreciate more the opportunity, to be able to influence that which is to be decided in these days, that it should be decided in our favor? One of the most obvious approaches is the Yud Gimel Midos that we say and we repeat a few times every time that we say Slichus. And it seems that we know that there was a covenant made through Moshe Rabbeinu with the Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us that these Yud Gimel Midos, which Moshe Rabbeinu first used in response to the Chet HaEgel, to that unfortunate event that took place after Har Sinai, 40 days later, when this Egel HaZohav, whatever it represented, whatever it meant, it was serious in terms of an infraction on the part of Klal Yisrael, these giants, spiritual giants, but lacking something in that experience, whatever that may be, that's not our topic right now. But Moshe Rabbeinu beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy with a nusach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a pact with him. And it's that pact that we evoke every day during the Slichus, and then on Yom Kippur many times more, to entitle us, to enable us to achieve divine mercy. And basically we say it in the nusach here. we begin it with Kel Melech Yoishev al Kisei Rachamim. Hashem sits on the Kisei Rachamim, which is a moshel for us to appreciate. Hashem's not sitting on a chair. I mean, there's no bodily existence, but these are days of Rachamim, and we're evoking Rachamim, and we speak to Hashem in terms of His desire to be Merachem on us. In fact, even the Loshon Kael, the Vilna Gaon says, Rashi says that it's a Loshon of Rachamim also. The Gaon says it's a Loshon of Gvura, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overpowers the anger that we truly deserve in order to have mercy on us. So it's really an extensive concept, a very deep concept of Hashem's Rachamim. Meicha Nasam Mav Rishon Rishon, these are all part of the Rachmonis that he does. He forgives the first Aveira, he starts counting from the second one. Mav Mechilo Chatoi Muslichol HaPoishim, he gives abundant forgiveness to those people who sin. There's all forms of stokos. The Goyin teaches us that stoko means that Hashem gives us beyond what we deserve. Im kol bosav ruach loy charosim, he doesn't treat us and bestow upon us according to what we deserve. If we got paid fully for what we deserve or for the mistakes that we've made, it wouldn't be so pleasant. And then he continues and says, Kael hayrei solonu, we continue and say, Kael hayrei solonu loymar shleish esrei. You taught us to recite these Yud Gimel Midos. Uzchor lonu hayoim beris shleish esrei. Remember for us today the covenant that you made with Moshe Rabbeinu, that Chazal tell us that Kehidat Olav Mikedem you showed to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Chazal say two things. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to do these Yud Gimel Midos. Says in the Gemara something that's really beyond our understanding, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisatef B'Talisoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol put the talis over him and showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to stand at the Omud and to recite the Yud Gimel Midos. But he made a bris with him. He made a pact with him. When the Klal Yisroel will Yasu Lefonai Seder Zeh, they will perform this Seder, they will not be turned away empty-handed. This Seder of Bakoshas Rachamim is going to be effective, must be effective, will always be effective any time that Klal Yisroel performs the Seder. Now, what is the Seder? So the Seder is like this, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun. Rashi, Chumash, says very simply, Hashem, it's repeated twice, the Hashem is a Midas HaRachamim. When we refer to the word Hashem, we refer to His mercy. And why the repetition? So Rashi explains, there's two levels of mercy, and they're both identical. The Rachamim that Hashem has before one sins, and the rachamim that Hashem has after one sins and does tshuva. So, a person who never sinned, he's entitled to great mercy from Hashem. Well, the one who did, he's made his mistakes, he's done his wrong things, but he's done tshuva. He's the same midas harachamim of Hashem applies to him. So this is a double, this is an all-inclusive veil of midas harachamim from Hashem, and we're invoking that, and when we invoke that, and I dare say that we have to appreciate what it is, and we have to internalize the message, it isn't about mumbling words, but when we do so, and it sounds like Kishayasu Lafonai Seder Zeh, that it penetrates to us, to the depths of our neshama, that it has an impact on us, it changes us, it maybe makes us more merciful and more kind and so forth, then there is this bris that when we take this seriously and recite it seriously with meaning and with feeling, we will not be turned away. Kael, as we mentioned, is also a Loshon of Rachamim. It's a gvura of Hashem to overpower His anger, kaviyochol, in order to be merachim. Rachum v'chanun. He's merciful, and He's chanun is a loshon chanino. Not only is He merciful, but as a response, I imagine, to that mercy, He grants us gifts bechinom, for free. You know, they say there's no free lunches. Well, that's maybe on the human level. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chanun, granting us great chanino, meaning gifts and benefits and brochos and responses beyond what we deserve. Erech HaPayim, of course, he delays his anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have real anger. We talk about him only in human terms. We can't conceptualize him in anything else other than human terms. But he goes easy with us, you know. He's Erech HaPayim, slow to anger, gives us an opportunity to change, to recognize our own mistakes, to regret, to do tshuva, to change our ways. So takes slow, doesn't want to jump to any response. V'rav Chesed ve'emes, and even Chesed, Hashem's kindness, is really a rachamim-based kindness. We say it in Shmon Esrei every day, Hatoiv kiloi cholu rachamecho, and He's the merachem kiloi samul chasodecho. He's the merciful one who never whose chesed never ends. There seems to be a connection between his mercy and his chesed. Because he's the merachem, he is merciful on us, he feels our pain, and by the way, that seems to be the definition, I'm sorry, of rachmonis. Mercy is a response to our suffering, is a response to our pain, is a response to our distress, is a response to our feelings, is a response to our praying and our requests and our beseeching, and he feels that pain of ours, and that seems to be Rav Chesed the Emes. And of course, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, and the Pasuk also says, Ato Hashem lo yisich lo rachamecho mimeni, you Hashem, you have never withheld your rachamim, chastecho v'amitecho tomid yitzruni, your Chesed and your emes, Hashem. It's part of the Rachme Hashem that he looks at us, and even though we may not be deserving of everything, but he finds all of those things, all the promises to the Ovis, all the schusim that we may have gained, all the schusovas that we may have, and bestows it upon us, never depriving us of anything that he can in any way justify and say and suggest and consider that it is something that we earn, that we deserve. And then, of course, he's Noitzer Chesed lo Alofim. Hashem, when it comes to bestowing Chesed, it's not just for us. Hashem takes any Chasodim that we do and pays back for 2,000 generations. 2,000 generations, we haven't had that yet from Avraham Avinu. That's what Hashem does, and that's all part of these Midos HaRachamim. They say, Ovo in Vofesha v'chato v'nake, and he puts up with all of our shortcomings, whether it was ovoin, whether it was pesha, chator, there's one is shegeg, one is merit, one is shegeg, v'nake, and he removes them, cleans them, as if they were sent to the dry cleaner. No stains left, nothing, everything has been clean. And all of this, all is part of Hashem's Midas HaRachamim. So when we talk about asking Hashem for Rachamim, we're talking to the Baal HaRachamim. We're talking to the one that is his essence. We're told to emulate Hashem in all of his Midas, and his Midas are all related to this Midas HaRachamim. He looks at us and he feels our pain. He watches our distress and our suffering, and he craves kaviyochol, so to speak, to respond and to find any way and means and justification to be able to respond to our distress and to our suffering. And therefore, when we're mevakesh rachamim, what we're really doing is we're addressing the true source, the true means to achieve everything we want. And when we do it with the havtocha of the Yud Gimel Midos, then we're doing it in a way that we can rely on. Because he promised us, not only are you asking rachamim and maybe you'll be zeicha and maybe you won't, like with chochma, as the Gemara said, and with ashirus, as the Gemara said, and with bonim, but here you're now being mevakish in the way of the Yud Gimel Midos, in a way that there is a guarantee you will not be turned away. So that's a very powerful opportunity to achieve those things that are so dear to us, that are so precious to us, that are so necessary to us, that are so causing such distress to us. We have now the formula to achieve, and we have the special formula which guarantees results from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's something else, and I'd like to spend a few moments to mention that as well. There's almost an obscure comment, sort of a kelach hayad, in the Sefer HaChinuch, in the mitzvah of Tkias Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. On the Yovel, every 50th year, and on the Yom Kippur of that Yovel, there was a special Tkias Shofar, the blowing of the Shofar in the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Chinuch explains that Tkias Shofar is different from the Tkias Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And Agav, just as an aside almost, he explains how the Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah works. What's that all about? So what is blowing the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah doing? What is it accomplishing? I think it's something that's very interesting. He says as follows. Sha'atkiyah hahi onu oisim, we do the Tkiyah on Rosh Hashanah for the following reason, purpose, likboya machshavteinu, to focus our thoughts al inyan akedas Yitzchok, on the akedas Yitzchok. Avram Avinu was told that what he has to do, the tenth, the highest level of test that he was put through, is he has to take his one and only son, for whom he waited 100 years, and who now was an adult of 37 years old, and this was his future, not just his personal future, not just, as they say, his Kaddishol, the one who's going to say Kaddish for him, but this was the future of the world, this was the future of Klal Yisrael, this was everything that we have and everything that the world has today, and any sense of morality or values or direction or meaning or purpose, and slaughter him, shecht him, he's finished, kill him. Akedas Yitzchok. And what should we do? And Avraham Avinu rose to the occasion, was ready to do it. Belev sholem v'rotzo lishchot oisei kedei lasos ritzoinecho. Hashem said shecht. That was it. No hesitation. That's what I want to do. Such avas Hashem. And so what should we do? We remember Akedas Yitzchok. Now what? The shofar, the ram that was substituted for instead of Yitzchok when Hashem told him not to do it. So we blow the ram's horn and we remember Akedas Yitzchok. No. So now what? Unetzayer benafshenu lases gam onu komoyhu la'avas Hashem. And we are at that moment supposed to picture in our soul, in ourselves, in our mind, that I'm doing the same. I could do the same thing. Picture myself doing the same thing out of my love of Hashem. Substitute instead of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchok, myself and my son, and I'm ready to take that knife and to shecht my son because Hashem told me to do it, and my love of Hashem is so intense that I follow him with the fullness of heart. This is what we should picture ourselves. Okay, so we made a picture. Now we have a thought. It's a picture. Okay, think about it. Very nice. Okay, but look what he says. Umitoich kach yale zichroineinu lefnei Hashem letoiv. And because of this, our memory will be elevated in front of Hashem for good. Kloimar, what does that mean? Shenihye zakoyim lefonov. We will be considered innocent in the judgment of Rosh Hashanah in front of Hashem because of this. What in the world is going on over here? The shofar is blowing on Rosh Hashanah. And I stopped following the advice of the Sefer HaChinuch, and I stopped to think, picture, instead of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchok, myself and my son, knife in my hand, love of Hashem, ready to do that which he tells me, the most difficult action maybe in human thought that could exist, and I'm ready to do it. I picture myself. And therefore what? Therefore, Shenihye Zakoyim Lefonov. We will now be considered innocent in the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Do you know how many things I did wrong this year? Do you know how much I got on my slate on the downside, on the bad side? There's so much that has to be taken into consideration. I did a couple of good things too, I'm sure. But all of a sudden, now everything is going to be overweighed in my favor, and I'm going to be zeiche in the din of Rosh Hashanah. That's what it says. I can't read those words any other way. And why? Because I pictured myself in this picture, in this image of myself doing Akedas Yitzchok when I heard the shofar. That's like the ultimate schus. And I think that this being the fact, this being the reality, this is what the Sefer HaChinuch, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, tells us. I think that we have to understand a few things. Number one, the power of this picture. If this picture didn't mean anything, if this picture didn't have any power, if this picture was just a joke, was be like watching a movie, then it couldn't have that massive effect on what's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah at those moments of initial judgment. It just doesn't make any sense. So number one, I think we have to see that this picture is very powerful. That when a person pictures himself in a certain situation, when a person sees a certain picture, the picture has the power to evoke in him the capabilities to do such things. Maybe not completely, maybe not totally, but it must have some real impact. You know, I often repeat what I heard from my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva Zechorin Lebrocha, many years ago. The Gemara in Yuma says, Hillel Machayev O'aniyim. Hillel, the existence of Hillel, who learned Torah in great poverty, is obligating aniyim, poor people, to learn Torah. So the Rosh Yeshiva asked the question, he says, he doesn't understand. If I have the ability to learn, even in my poverty-stricken situation, then I'm mechuyev to learn whether there was a Hillel or not. And if I don't have the ability to do it, then what's the difference if there was a Hillel who learned Bedachus? Hillel learned in poverty and I can't. Everything depends on the capabilities that I have. So what are you telling me? Hillel is mechayev aniyim. Says the pshat is that because there was a Hillel, now you have new capabilities. Hillel is mechayev aniyim because the oni who looks at Hillel and sees what he was able to do, that picture, that creates new capabilities within the person. And I wonder if this picture, seeing myself doing such a thing, doesn't create a greater capability, a greater appreciation, a greater sense of Avas Hashem, and it can have a major impact in the way I feel towards Hashem, in what I do in my life, and how I am ready and willing to respond to his directives, and in how much I truly love him, and how loyal I am based on that love, that I have the power, or closer to the power, of being able to even perform such an act. So it seems that this picture can have a very powerful impact on us, and Hashem looks at it and says, hey, you know, you're really trying. You're trying to inspire yourself with the deepest level of love of Hashem. That's a schus that can overweigh so much else. But when we talk about overweighing, I think we have to mention one more point, and this may be pertinent to everything that we've said here this evening. We actually say by the Akedah, after we say the Akedah, so in the Sidurim it has a Nusach, Ribbono Shel Olam, and basically we ask Hashem, we say, just like Avraham Avinu overpowered his mercy, had mercy on his son. He's standing here with a knife ready to shecht his only son. But he overpowered that natural, instinctive rachmonis that he has for his son just to follow the Rotzen Hashem, to do Hashem's will, to express, to actualize, to act upon that love of Hashem that he has. So too we ask Hashem, Ken yichbeshu rachamecho es ka'ascho me'oleinu, that your rachamim should overpower your anger against us, and evoke your midas harachamim because of the kvisha that Avraham Avinu did. And it sounds like there's a concept of mido keneged mido. Avraham Avinu overpowered his mercy in order to shecht his son, to do that which Hashem said. We ask you, Hashem, overpower, you should overpower your anger, which is well deserved based on what we have behaved or misbehaved. Al midosecho should have, your rachamim should overpower your anger, and you should deal favorably with us. And I wonder if that There are many things in life that we have, many opportunities that we have, that we may not deserve. Sometimes we're not even fully deserve. Rachamim itself is something that we don't necessarily deserve. We ask for. We ask here Hashem in the schus of Avraham Avinu, who was koivish rachamov, that Hashem should be koivish kasei. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I deserve this treatment, but there's such a thing as midah keneged midah. Avraham Avinu overpowered his rachamim. We ask you to let your rachamim overpower your anger. And maybe that's the way this works by Akedas Yitzchok on the Kiyas Shofar as well. That I'm trying my best to reach a level of Avas Hashem. I'm willing to listen to the Shofar and to picture myself performing such an act out of Avas Hashem, out of my love of Hashem. And that Hashem looks at and says, no, you really didn't earn with that picture that you should be zoiche, that you should become innocent in the din, that the judgment now should be turned completely in your favor. But there's such a thing as midah keneged midah. Look what you're attempting to do, and it's real, and it has an impact, and it can change you. It's not going to change you overnight. It has to be done, and we talk to do it every day. But it's there's something there, and Hashem looks at that and says, you know, I have to, because you attempted to see yourself being koivish your rachamim to do the rotzon Hashem, I have to now be koivish the kas in order to have rachamim on you. Hashem should help that we should be able in these days to beseech Him for His mercy, to know that everything depends on that. Everything depends on Rachmi Dishmayo. If we're going in on our own merit, we might have trouble. But if we go in with the attitude that we ask Hashem for Rachamim, and that's really where it's at, and that's what we ask Him, we beg Him, we beseech Him, and we do whatever we can, Mido Keneged Mido, to earn that special Rachamim, then Be'ez Hashem, we could be Zeiche, that in these days and in the upcoming judgment of Rosh Hashanah and finalization on Yom Kippur, we should be Zeiche to a year, to a life that's full of brocha, full of the fulfillment of kol mishalos libenu, and we should be zeicha in what was, I'm sure, for many such a difficult year, to the brocha of tichle shono v'kilu loiseho, tochel shono u'bircho yiseho. The klolos and the tzoros of the past year should be over, and the new year should dawn with great brocha for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.